It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm your host, Will Hampton, and thanks for joining us again. And we're into the month of February, which means, well, the Super Bowl is over. We move into really kind of mainstream college basketball, but there's something new that we're going to talk about in just a bit. But first, let's wrap it up. Okay, Patriots win another one for the sixth time. They are the Super Bowl champions, and they beat the Rams 13-3 on Super Sunday. And Julian Edelman was the MVP. And if you think about it, you know, I know everybody knows that I'm not a big Patriots fan, but this is a guy, Edelman, that was banned. He was banned for using performance-enhancing drugs for the first four games of this season. A lot of people are saying, well, here's a guy that probably should have been banned for postseason as well, and now he's the Super Bowl MVP for of who else? The New England Patriots. But to look back real quickly, I love the defense. A lot of people said, oh, it was a boring game. And I'm like, well, I don't really think it was, because the defense was really fun to watch on both sides. The Rams defense was outstanding. Of course, the Patriots defense just a touch better. But what I saw most, if I had to predict why I think the Patriots won, I think, A, Bill Belichick. They obviously had the Rams scouted. They obviously knew what the Rams were wanting to do on offense, and the Rams could not figure it out how to do something different. You know, they needed a yin for their yang, because the Patriots had figured out what they were trying to do. And I think youth struggled. I think the experience of the Patriots was the difference in the game. When you think of what happened, when you looked on the sidelines and saw the head coach, the 33-year-old coach of the Rams, he looked scared. He looked scared the entire game. His eyes were bug-eyed out. And I think Jared Goff, their young quarterback, I think in his third year, I think is where he is. First, of course, in game in the Super Bowl for him, he looked scared. He played scared the whole game. And that's the difference. A lot of people I know going into it, people ask me, who do you think is going to win? And I said, I think the Patriots will. I said, I don't want them to win, but I think they will. And I think experience will be the defining factor. And I think that's what it was. The Patriots just don't get bothered by this stage, because they've been on it so many times. And so we'll say congratulations, New England Patriots. As tough as that is to say, they are the Super Bowl champs. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, a very special guest, former Colts president Bill Polian, who's starting a brand new football league. He joins us next when Catholic Sports Weekly continues. This show underwritten in part by AAA Roofing Company and 21ology.com.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a voice for the church that's seldom heard in our chaotic world. We're confirmation for the strong of faith, and encouragement and answers for those in doubt. We're there to rejoice with your triumphs and to be a voice of consolation through the dark times. We're a voice for vocations and proudly pro-life. We are Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Herding cars, trucks, homes, businesses, workshops, garages, man caves, and she sheds.
We're with you wherever you go. Catholic Radio Indy.
And the good news is football is not over. Hey, let's say hi to my special guest this week, Mr. Bill Polian, Hall of Famer in the NFL. And now, I guess the official title is head of football and co-founder of what we're calling the Alliance of American Football. Mr. Polian, thank you for joining us this week on Catholic Sports Weekly.
Well, it's my pleasure, Will.
Yesterday, got the big win, of course. We taped the show on Monday and air it several times throughout the week, but the Super Bowl Sunday is behind us, and those darn Patriots win another one, huh?
Well, you gotta give Bill Belichick credit. I mean, he really outcoached the opposition, particularly on defense, specifically on defense. They just made the Rams' offense non-operable, using old-fashioned 1970s kind of football.
Yeah,
field position, defense, stop the run, and the Rams had no answer, even with the long halftime, which, as you know, is 30 minutes or more, where you have a lot of time to adjust, in which Tony Romo on the broadcast predicted there would be adjustments. There weren't any. And despite a valiant effort by Wade Phillips and the Rams' defense, the offense wasn't able to do a thing.
Well, I said earlier in the show, before I had you join us, it looked to me like the Rams coach was kind of scared, and Goff played scared a little bit. They were just, sometimes we talk a lot about experience against youth, and we saw a lot of that, didn't we? The Patriots' experience overcame a young, vibrant coach and a fantastic quarterback that just seemed, to me, looked like they were just sort of out of place the whole game.
Well, I would describe it as out of sync.
Okay.
And it was caused by what Coach Belichick did with the defense. If you think about our days in Indianapolis playing the Patriots, and we played them a lot.
Yep.
And the Rams haven't, by the way, which is not helpful when you're getting ready to prepare for them. But if they want to play with their big people, which they do, they really want to play with big people. They want to play with what Bill Belichick learned from Bill Parcells 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Big, powerful pass rushers who aren't interested in sacking the quarterback. They want to disrupt them. They want to get him off his spot. They want to disrupt his timing. They want to hit him time and time and time again, knock him down, even though they're not sacking him. That's what they did. Well, what's the antidote to that? Well, think about Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison and Brandon Stokely and Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark using 53 and a third yards of the field, taking them away from their combination zone coverages, which are hard for a quarterback to read, and therefore makes him hold the ball a little bit longer or drift in the pocket. The Rams, I mentioned to someone I was watching the game with, that the Rams had to spread out, go three wides, go up-tempo, get the big people worn out and out of the game, as you remember we would do with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. That's the bottom line. They didn't. And as a result, they were only able to score 3 points. In the NFL, as you know, we've talked about it many times, 17 points given up by the defense results in a win about 95% of the time. 17 points or less, you're going to win the football game. Well, the Rams gave up 13. That was darn near a shutout by the Rams.
Yeah, their defense played great. Yeah,
they played great, but the offense just didn't do a thing, and they didn't make any adjustments to counter what the Patriots were doing. As a matter of fact, the idea that they were going to stay in the huddle for a long period of time and not give Belichick a chance to adjust over the microphone to his defense backfired on them, because the longer they stayed in the huddle, the fewer plays they ran, the more they put pressure on their defense, and the more they played right into Belichick's hands. Because if you go up-tempo, the big people get worn out.
Yeah. Well, that's it's over. Let's turn the page. And you and I could probably sit and talk about the Super Bowl for an hour, but let's don't. Let's talk about the Alliance of American Football. You're the co-founder of this new league, and you guys start football this weekend. This weekend, you guys get going. And tell me, I know for years people have said, man, what we need is football right after the Super Bowl, because people are still hungry and they want more football. And you guys have pulled it off. Tell me about what the AAF is all about.
Well, what we're all about is providing football in the spring, which we hope will be a vehicle for the fans to enjoy more football, those that want to. There's a significant number, studies tell you there's a significant number that do. And secondly, we'll provide an opportunity for players who've never had a chance to make it in the NFL because of they've fallen through the cracks largely, or they haven't had an opportunity to make it the first time in the NFL, so they can go back and get experience and development with us, and then have an opportunity to go back to the NFL. And we've done some interesting things, the most notable of which is that we will, up until our season begins and closes, we will allow a player out of his contract to go to the NFL. The only thing we ask in return is if they come back and play spring football, they play with us for a period of time of their contract. And so our number one draft choice in our quarterback draft, Josh Johnson, we released him to go with the Redskins when Alex Smith had that terrible injury. Mm-hmm. And he ended up being the starting quarterback for the Redskins, and it looks like he's going to earn a job there. So while we're disappointed that he's not leading our San Diego team as we hoped he would, we're thrilled that he's gotten the opportunity, and it sends a message to everyone else that's thinking about playing in the spring. If you have the opportunity, we'll help to develop you with great coaching and people who spent their lives in professional football, and B, if you have the opportunity, we'll let you go.
Yeah. Talking with Bill Polian, Hall of Famer, now the head of football and co-founder of the Alliance of American Football. They start their games this, I think, Saturday or Sunday, February 9th.
Saturday.
Okay, Saturday.
So it's a
10-game season, and there are 8 teams. You have Arizona, Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, Orlando, Salt Lake City, San Antonio, and San Diego. And the coaches are kind of a who's who. You got Mike Martz, Dennis Erickson. The old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, is coaching Orlando. Mike Singletary's out there. Rick Neuheisel, that's an interesting opportunity for him in Arizona. You've done a great job putting together what will be a really fun league. Now, it's on CBS, right? Are these games going to be on broadcast on CBS National, or are they CBS Regional, or what are we going to see as far as the TV coverage?
The first game, which is in San Antonio Saturday evening, will be on CBS Network. The next 9 games will be on CBS Sports Network every Saturday night. And then the championship game, which is the 27th of April in Las Vegas, will be on the network again. Now, additionally, we just announced last week that we will have a game every Sunday night on NFL Network.
Okay.
And we will have a game every Saturday or Sunday on Turner, TNT. So We'll be on lots of broadcast outlets. Virtually all of our games will be televised, and we're excited about that. Obviously, the more people you reach, the more converts you can make.
Yeah, well, I know I'm excited about it, and you're teaming with Charlie Ebersole. We know the Ebersole name connected to football for a long, long time, but it's just kind of a dream, really. Was it kind of his dream, or you guys kind of came together on the dream, or it seems like it's just an opportunity to give talent who is oh so close to making it in the NFL, like you said, that second chance. Help me understand the dream of making this happen.
Well, it was Charlie's vision and Charlie's dream, and he coupled that with some interesting technological things that we're going to be doing, an app that where people can really get involved with the game, and that's his doing. He came to me and at the urging of his father, Dick, who was a longtime mm-hmm. head of NBC Sports and the creator of Saturday Night Live, among other things, a legend in the television sports business, and said, you know, what do you think about this? And so I said, well, under certain circumstances, it's viable. There's a need for it. NFL people constantly talk about the need for player development. And it's true. We do need it. The NBA has the D-League, for example. Hockey has their minor leagues and a junior program. We have only the college feeder system, and there are only so many jobs in the NFL. And if you don't make it the first time, it's likely that you don't have another opportunity. And so, and when NFL Europe was operating, it was out of sight, out of mind in this country. But it produced a great many players and coaches and executives, the most obvious of which is Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah, you're right.
Who's
pretty
good. Pretty good, and a surefire Hall of Famer. So the bottom line is I've been saying for years in my role as a commentator on ESPN and Sirius Radio, there's a need for a developmental league. So when Charlie approached me with this idea, I thought, well, I'll put my effort where my mouth has been and see if we can't get this thing up and running. And we have.
Yep.
And you know, that's been the hard part. It's, by the way, it's for myself and our staff, which are great people, all of which have NFL experience and high-level NFL experience. This is the hardest job we've ever had.
Yeah, I bet.
But now we're up and running, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Starts February 9th, 10-game season, the AAF. I see where Trent Richardson is getting a chance. He's a running back for Birmingham. Is that still the story? I read something that was a couple days old. So how's he doing, and what do you expect out of Trent Richardson getting this other chance now in this league?
Well, he's doing fine. What I saw in practice, I think, was good. He played only a little in our one preseason game, but that's because they were trying to keep him healthy and ready to go. He's their number one guy. And that's another thing that's unique about our league. We disperse the talent on a geographical basis. So if you played at Alabama, for example, your contractual rights belong to Birmingham. They have Alabama, Auburn, a number of other schools in the state of Alabama, which, mm-hmm. as we know, is a tremendous producer of talent. That's true throughout the league. So the fans are going to get to see players, who they are used to seeing rooting for at the collegiate level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited for you, and I know it's going to go well. If you're involved, chances are it'll be a success. So good luck with the AAF.
Thanks a million. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, real quickly, I know you and I met a long time ago when I was working in Charlotte, and you were with the Carolina Panthers, and I remember us standing side by side right after the Panthers became, who they are. The Panthers became the Panthers as an expansion team. And then, of course, our paths kind of crossed again here in Indianapolis, and I was blessed to be able to host your show, the Bill Polian Show. I've always known your Catholic faith is center to your life. And I know I remember one of my favorite shows we always did on the Bill Polian Show was when you would bring the Catholic school kids in I think it was one of our shows where they got to ask you questions. And is that all starting in the Bronx with the Polian family and Mount St. Michael Academy? And where did what are the roots of your Catholic faith?
Yeah, that's where it began. Our Lady of Mercy Grade School and my own family, my mother and dad, and then, of course, the Mount. I've got 12 years of Catholic education, and mm-hmm. like most people of my generation, it was forced onto me unwillingly at the time, but indelibly by the nuns and the brothers. So it survives to this day. And it really, as you get older, I think you you have more experience in life, you realize that human beings are at best very fallible. Faith, hope, and charity is what should govern your life. Charity being the greatest of all. And as Tony Dungy used to say, preach and practice the golden rule. That's universal. There's too much of the other stuff in our lives these days, it seems to me.
Yeah.
But if we just follow that simple guideline, those simple guidelines, which are common, really, to all religious faiths, we'll come out okay. We'll do all right. And that's, that's what I've tried to do. And, I'm as fallible or more so than the next guy. In fact, probably far more so. But in the end, as time goes on, you rely a little bit more and more on your faith. And that's kind of where I am in my life. And if I can give back, then so much the better.
Well, that foundation was laid a long time ago, and it's very strong, like you said, still today. When you think about your life, I mean, almost all your life, you've worked on Sundays, and you've had to try to continue to be the kind of Catholic you want to be. Well, when your job is on Sundays, how difficult is that? I mean, a lot of our listeners, just guys who work different places, getting to Mass is tough sometimes, and you have to work your way through your schedule to get there. But you've always made that a very important You were fortunate with the Colts. You were able to hire a priest and have a mass right there in your hotel. but that's always been a factor, huh?
The National Football League is always ahead of the curve when it comes to that.
Yeah.
You're really lucky to work in the National Football League because we have all those amenities available to us. And we had for many years Father Kelly, who was our chaplain in Indianapolis. And the other good thing about that is that the chaplain is always well aware that you're getting ready to play a game, and there are a lot of players and coaches in that room. And so they move fast. Tom Coughlin once joked to me that if the homily got a little bit long, he pointed at his watch, and and the priest rounded up pretty quickly. We're lucky in a lot of ways to be in the National Football League, but that's an important part of game day. Whatever religion you are, there's also a non-denominational Protestant service at the same time. So we're fortunate that we don't have to make very many sacrifices to fulfill our duty.
Well, we're seeing more and more faith being kind of worn on the sleeve a little bit, too, it seems. The Eagles last year, we saw and heard a lot of stories about what a faith-filled organization they are. The Colts this year, when you were there with Tony Dungy, it was talked about a lot. And then now, again, it seems like with Frank Reich and Chris Ballard, it's kind of returning to that a little bit. It seems like it's okay to be faith-filled, and that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think that it's always been that way in sports, going all the way back to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which is founded a long time ago. I was a young coach at the time that it started. And it's always been accepted, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
By the same token, our laws are what they are, and they're there for a reason, and they separate church and state, and that's a good thing, too. But there's nothing wrong with people expressing or espousing their faith, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I wish you the very best of luck with this new venture, and I know you're excited. I think it's great to see football in Memphis, and it's just really a neat opportunity, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is. We're serving, by and large, markets that don't have professional football, and we're anxious to get going and show people what we've got.
Yeah, well, good luck with it. Bill, thank you, and God bless you, and good luck with the AAF. It gets started this Saturday on CBS. Thank you.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate it.
Great man, Bill Polian. Thank you very much, and really, really great to have him on this show, Catholic Sports Weekly. Well, we're going to take a quick break. This show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and also the Elam Group.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof and your building investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaaroofingcompany.com.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, with access to great Catholic resources, including podcasts of all our local programming, podcasts that have been downloaded from all 50 states and over 40 countries on 6 continents. Yes, we are Catholic Radio Indy, but thanks to your support, we're taking the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly, this show underwritten by AAA Roofing Company and also 21ology.com. Let's say hi to Father Michael Bauer from Our Lady of Grace in Noblesville. He's kind of the hard charger, getting Exodus 90 going in our parish at least the last couple of years. But how are you doing? And welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly.
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing great. We're into week 3 here on Exodus 90, so carrying on.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, we're taping this show Monday, so I think it's day 15, and we move forward throughout the week into week 3. What are some of the challenges of people who maybe are listening who are doing Exodus 90? What are maybe some of the hurdles that they have really maybe pray harder about this week?
Yeah, so I think we're still in somewhat the beginning stages of Exodus 90. You know, we. In a certain sense, we're a couple weeks in, so we're kind of over the initial starting adrenaline of Exodus 90 and really starting to settle in. I think probably the thing with the biggest learning curve for guys doing Exodus 90 is the amount of prayer time every day. Just because, you know, unlike all the other penances that are very clear, you do this and you pass the penance, prayer is kind of individual for every person. So a lot of guys aren't used to making a big chunk of time for prayer every day. So guys kind of pushing through with that, growing closer to Christ through prayer, which can be a challenge, but I think also is probably the biggest blessing of the 90 days. So that's kind of the big challenge that everybody's going against this week, just staying true to the penances and also continuing to dive deeper into prayer.
Talk with Father Michael Bauer from Our Lady of Grace in Noblesville. And this is something, Exodus 90, that I guess worldwide, you can get on the app, you can get on exodus90.com. But throughout our diocese, Lafayette Diocese, and also the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, what are you hearing as far as the buzz? How are people getting involved? How can they maybe still get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. I think at this point, Exodus 90 is really spreading a lot through word of mouth. I think that's how it's always been spread, and it seems like, you know, pretty much every parish you end up at, it seems like there's some group of guys who's been doing Exodus or who's heard of Exodus 90. But this year was definitely a big boost because at the SEEK conference, which is right in Indianapolis this year, Exodus 90 was pushed pretty hard. And so the word on the street was about 13,000 people signed up for Exodus 90 after SEEK, which was a huge boost for Exodus 90. In terms of our parish, I know there's a number of parishes in the area that are starting to have groups of men from the parish. I know in the Diocese of Lafayette, a good chunk of our priests, especially some of the younger priests, have all done Exodus 90. I can't say for sure in Indianapolis what's been going on, but I mean, it just seems like I hear people everywhere talking about Exodus 90, so I think it's spreading pretty thoroughly.
Well, thank you so much for your guidance and your leadership, and I know you and Father Tom are both doing it. Can you take us out with a prayer, maybe for focus on the guys that are, and the women? There are some women who do Exodus 90, but maybe close with a prayer from Father Michael Bauer.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we want freedom. We want to serve you. Guide us throughout the rest of this Exodus 90. Help us this week to persevere in the penances and the challenges we have set before us. Give us a spirit of true charity for our brothers and sisters who are participating in Exodus 90, that they may be brought closer to you during this whole experience. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Michael Bauer. And also thanks to Bill Poling for being our guest this week on Catholic Sports Weekly.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.